and switched off the fax board. He had fetched his copy of Sublunar's Galactic Chronicles and told Dom about the Jokers. "Name the races, classed as human under the Humanity Act," he began. "Phanobes, men, Drosks, and the First Syrian Bank," Dom rattled off. "Also, Class 5 robots by Subclause 1 may apply for human status." "Yes, and the other races," Dom ticked them off on his fingers. "Kreapi are superhuman, Class 4 robots are subhuman, Sundogs are unclassified." "Yes." "The other races I'm not sure about," admitted Dom. "The Jovians and the rest. You never taught me anything about them." "It is not necessary. They are so alien, you understand. We share no common ground. Things humanity considers universal among self-aware races, a sense of identity, for example, are merely products of a temperate bipedal evolution. But all the 52 races so far discovered arose in the last 5 million standard years."
"You told me about that yesterday," said Dom, "Sublunar's theory of galactic sapience."
Then the Phnobe had told him about the Jokers. The Kreapi had found the first Joker tower and, all else having failed to open it, had dropped a live Negro-Cavernal matrix on it. The tower was later found to be intact. 3 neighbouring stellar systems had been wrecked, however. The Phnobes never discovered a Joker tower. They had always known of one. The Tower of Phnobis, rising from the sea into the perpetual cloud cover, was the cause and basis of the planet-wide Ferus-Gunz religion, literally, Pillar of the Universe. Earth-human colonists had found 7, one of them floating in the asteroid belt of the old Sol system. That was when the Joker Institute was set up. The young races of men, Kreapi, Phnobe, and Drosk, found themselves watching one another in awe across a galaxy littered with the memories of a race that had died before human time began. And out of that awe arose the legends of Joker's World, the glittering goal that was to taunt adventurers and fools and treasure hunters across the light years. Dom touched the tower. There was the faintest tingle, a sudden stab of pain. He leapt back, frantically rubbing life back into his frozen fingers. The coldness of the tower was always greatest at noon, when they drank in heat, yet grew icy. Dom set off around the tower, feeling the cold reaching out towards him. Looking up, he thought he saw the air within a foot of the smooth walls darken, as if light was just a gas and was being sucked in by the spire. It wasn't logical, but the idea had a certain artistic appeal. Towards noon, a security flyer glittered briefly on the western horizon heading south. Dom stepped sideways into a clump of reeds and wondered what he was doing in the marsh. Freedom, that was it. The last day of real freedom. His last chance to see Widdershins without a security guard standing on either side of him and a score of more subtle protections all around. He had planned it, down to squashing Corridor's ubiquitous robot insects that spied on him, always for his own protection, in his bedroom. And now he'd have to go home and face Grandmother. He was beginning to feel just a little foolish. He wondered what he had expected from the tower. Some feeling of cosmic awe, probably. A sense of the deeps of time. Certainly not this sinister, insidious sensation of being watched. It was just like being at home. He turned back. There was a hiss of superheated air as something passed his face and struck the tower. Where it hit the frozen wall, the heat blossomed into a flower of ice crystals. Dom dived instinctively, rolled over and over, and was up and running. A second blast passed him, and a dry seed head in front of him exploded into a shower of sparks. He stifled the urge to look round. Corridor had schooled him unmercifully in assassination drill. Knowing who was the assassin was small reward for being assassinated. Corridor said, "The price of curiosity is a terminal experience." At the edge of the lagoon, Dom gathered himself and dived. As he hit the water, the third blast seared across his chest. Great bells rang, far out to sea or maybe in his head. The cool greenness was soothing, and the bubbles... Dom awoke. With an inculcated instinct, he kept his eyes closed and tentatively explored his environment. He was lying on the mixture of sand, ooze, dry reed stems and snail shells that passed for soil on most